When you realize that mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks, it's time to tune into The Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
Americans yearn to explore life's deepest truths and to say their entertainment or their idea of entertainment is sex and violence and crime is an insult to their goodness and intelligence. We are people who believe love can triumph over hate, creativity over destruction, and hope over despair. And that's why so many millions hunger for God's good news. I've always believed that we were, each of us, put here for a reason, that there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. And I know now that whatever days are left to me belong to Him. I also believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way.
And then welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Hope your Friday's going well. And aren't you just so glad it's Friday? Whew. I absolutely love this day. I do. I perk up. It's like happy day. I don't know what it is about Friday. Welcome. And let's start off the show. I don't want to waste any time. Let's get to Ben McClintock from the organization DefendingUtah.org. And as I was saying yesterday on the show, you know what? This is a great Father's Day gift, believe it or not. This is a wonderful Father's Day gift to sign your guy up for DefendingUtah.org, get some front sight time, and also all of the ways to be an effective citizen. I mean, talk about a gift that keeps on giving and that can help turn us into a patriot. Make sure you get over to DefendingUtah.org because they have so many different tools and things. It's just amazing what you can learn. Welcome to the show, Ben McClintock. How are you?
Hey, thank you. That's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, let's let you know, how many ties does one need? Seriously. I love ties, but come on. By the way, in the show today, in the next hour, yeah, I'm going there. I'm doing BioTerror right here in the United States and the labs, the amount of labs that we have now in BioTerror. So we'll be talking about that. And then also in the last hour, Colonel Doug McGregor, you know, he was the one that came out and said that what's happening in Syria, that is not going on in Syria. And I love his honesty. The Colonel has been on Tucker Carlson. He's been on all kinds of shows, but he's just really brutally honest about Syria. And I cannot wait to talk to him in the last hour. So, Ben, let's go. Let's talk about healthcare Bill of Rights.
Yes, we have some legislation that we're trying to find some legislators to really get behind. We've got a few that have been interested in introducing it, but as many as we can get as co-sponsors, the faster it'll go through. But what this does is this is not like a like the healthcare Bill of Rights you would think of from the left. But what this says is it's for parents having ultimate jurisdiction over children, and that when the state accuses you of something, that you actually are able to have due process. Because right now there are two areas of law where the Constitution, literally, the Bill of Rights literally does not apply. And that is with taxes, and that is with CPS, where... And the Bill of Rights to protect ourselves, the government has to get a warrant according to the Fourth Amendment. And that warrant has to be based on the testimony of a credible witness. You actually have the right to confront your accuser. Mm-hmm. According to the Fifth Amendment, you cannot be made to say anything that might be seen as you saying that you did something wrong. So you're not forced to testify against yourself. The Sixth Amendment says that you must... A jury of your peers must unanimously find you guilty. The Seventh and Eighth Amendment says that when you're waiting for a trial, that the government's not supposed to be able to keep you indefinitely, that a bail of a reasonable amount must be set. But when it comes to when CPS comes in and says that you've chosen a different form of medical treatment, mm-hmm. than what the medical establishment wants you to have, you are automatically guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
Your accuser can be kept a secret. We don't know, like with our example, we never knew who everybody pled innocent. We don't know who accused us of medical neglect. Also, your trial is kept a secret. It is not a public trial and nobody's allowed to go to it. Testimony of a CPS agent is considered as good as physical evidence. So they don't need physical evidence. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. In a violation of the Fifth Amendment, currently under state law, your silence is considered evidence against you. Also, according to state law right now, your refusal to let them search your home without a warrant is considered evidence against you. You are not allowed to have a jury. That is prohibited under state law. An agent of the government, so a judge, is the only one all by himself, is the one that decides if you are innocent or guilty.
Okay.
And the a violation of the state of the Seventh Amendment, the state can keep your children indefinitely, and agents of the state are allowed to lie under oath with immunity.
Jeez. It's amazing that they can do that. I mean, it's amazing that they can pass regulations to violate your what's supposed to be government protected rights in America. Like, they can carve out pockets where rights don't exist, kind of like the free speech zone. It's that always amazes me that they can do it. They can get away with it by calling it a policy.
Exactly. And so what we're trying to do is we're saying, you know what, due process should apply when it comes to parental rights.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't sound extreme, but when a legislator last year came up, brought it to CPS agents, the head of the agency, they said no, they would oppose it. And therefore, the rest of the legislature would vote no on it, would vote no on due process because the head of CPS told them no. And so what we want to do right now is building up to the next session. I mean, it's 6 months away. And so we need to really start building momentum on this, is to have all of your listeners go to defendingutah.org. They can download the Utah Medical Care Bill of Rights Act, which what it does is it restores the Bill of Rights due process to parents being accused by CPS and the medical industry. And so the actual, you know, the law actually applies to parents as much as it does to, like, say, somebody that was accused of raping somebody actually has more rights than parents do.
It's shocking. It's shocking. Wow.
So we want people to help out with that and get involved and help us to get that passed by getting their legislators to sponsor or introduce this parental rights bill.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yes, absolutely. DefendingUtah.org. You know, I talk about them all the time because I really love that you guys are doing this and bringing forward these things in Utah, because we have the mainstream channels, and that's what everybody listens to, and that's what drives me. It just drives me insane that people think that they're getting told the truth. They're not. So if you want some truth, there's a couple of radio shows, and there's also defendingutah.org, and that's your honestly, I don't know where else to get, you know, to get some truth. Okay, I'm so baffled by that. By the way, KSL came out today. KSL, they actually came out with this article, but of course it's twisted a little bit. But after repeated RISE test glitches, by the way, Utah has terminated its contract with test provider Questar. State Board of Education terminates the 10-year, $44 million contract. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But it's, you know, the problems come out and then nothing happens. It's so amazing to me how that keeps working. Let's talk about
the next thing they should terminate is their contract with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize that the Department of Education does have that, right? So,
yep.
Yeah. Shocking that they have that. Let's talk about the other issue too. Well, I've still got you, because I've got you for a few more minutes and then maybe a few more minutes right after the break. So
it's June. It's we're getting bombarded with this from all media all around, being Gay Pride Month. And I coin it Gay Supremacy Month, because it's not about just live and let live. It's not about even equal rights. It really is about pushing them as supremacy. Mm-hmm. You look at in San Francisco right now, their entire police force has been, their badges have been changed. So, like, instead of having like the gold fringe around their badge, it's the rainbow flag fringe, and their entire car, all the lettering is done in the rainbow flag. So, I mean, you would expect that in places like San Francisco,
right,
probably,
right.
But you know, if you were to put a cross or a nativity scene on the car, you know, of course that would be a no-no,
right.
But we can push this.
Right.
But people don't really know what the history of this is, and I wanted to kind of show the Utah connection to this movement.
Okay.
And what it's based on is the commemoration of the Stonewall Riots in New York. It's a gay bar called the Stonewall.
How funny. I was just looking at a piece on that last night. Okay, go ahead. Yes, that's funny.
And the riots were in response to this isn't what the media is going to tell you, but the riots were in response to the police investigating pedophilia at the gay bar. They had a bunch of underage cross-dressing boys, like you've seen on USA Today and Good Morning America recently, and where several underage cross-dressing boys were witnessed entering illegally because they're under 18, so you can't go into a bar if you're under 18. And instead of cooperating with the police and saying, no, we're not involved in this kind of behavior, the patrons of the gay bar all went outside and started to light garbage cans on fire and threw them into the bar to try and kill the cops and try to burn all the evidence down in the bar.
Yeah.
And so this is something that deception is key in this agenda. And we want to go through what is their agenda. A lot of they've already implemented, but there are some things that they want to, but it's not just me saying that they're being deceptive. One of their key activists has been a part of this pushing this deception. Her name is Masha Gessen. Okay. And she is a columnist for the New Yorker. So she's not just some extreme. I mean, she's mainstream publications. And there's an audio clip, if you can play that.
Here we go. Ready? Go. Here we go.
I agree. It's a no-brainer that we should have the right to marry. But I also think equally that it's a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. So that causes my brain some trouble. And part of it, why it causes me trouble, is because fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there. Mm. You know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change.
Wow. Yeah, it's shocking to hear her say that, I guess. That's what's so shocking about it is we've talked about that. Of course, we get accused of, that's crazy talk. But she's outing that. She's admitting that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so in 1972, the Gay Rights Platform was created by the National Coalition of Gay Organizations. And what they came out with, a lot of their different things that they wanted to on their platform, like getting gay marriage and decriminalizing homosexuality and getting gays in the military. A lot of those things have already happened. That was in 72 that they've been pushing it, and they didn't really start happening until about 2000. So, 30, 40 years later. Mm-hmm. But these are some of the things that we're seeing that haven't been accomplished yet that we're starting to see come to fruition. And so a lot of times they'll say, no, we only want this. Like back in the 90s, they said, oh, no, we just want to be left alone. Oh, no. And then it was after that they wanted to just have civil unions.
We'll talk
more about it when we get back.
Okay, we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're going to want to hear this.
Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah. We're living on the edge.
Hi there, welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Today in the next hour, I do BioTerra right here in the United States, BioLabs. And let's get into that. And then also Colonel Douglas McGregor joins me in the last hour. He's a great guest. He's been on all kinds of shows for a very long time discussing from a military standpoint what he would do with Iran, what he would, what we should be doing in the Middle East as well. So great show ahead. And, of course, this hour is always rocking. I've got Ben McClintock on from DefendingUtah.org. We're just talking about, Gay Supremacy Month. You're not far off. That's actually a good way to describe it, because all have to bow to this. And it's insane how we aren't seeing that a sexual preference has turned into what it's turned into. And so to have an entire month dedicated to this, it's insane.
It's year wide now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because they just push it and push it and push it. And they're not honest about it. Like we played before the break, you've got the gay rights activist that's a contributor to the New Yorker talking about how they lie about what they want.
Yeah, They lie because what they were saying was, once we get marriage, of course we're going to change it. We say we're not.
Right.
You know, we say it'll be just inclusive of us. No, she said it will change. And that's exactly what they had in mind. So,
yep.
Wow.
And so since the 70s, they came out with this, their gay rights platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done by the National Coalition of Gay Organizations. And what happened was in the early 70s, and then it didn't start to get implemented. It seemed really extreme back then to be able to let homosexuals into the army or to do civil unions and whatnot. And they always say they don't want this. They just want this one thing, and then they go to the next. So some of the things that haven't been implemented yet, what they wanted to do, we see being starting now, is this is written in 1972. They want to amend all federal civil rights acts, other legislation, mm-hmm. and government controls to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, public accommodations, and public services. And we see that right now with the new Equality Act,
right.
that they're trying to push right now, that would completely destroy not only private individuals' rights to be able to freely associate, but it would actually go over schools and universities. And so, you know, your church would, if they have any employees, they would now have to hire homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
They would, or anybody else on the, you know, 56 different genders there are, I guess.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to protect your organization in that way. And they've been pushing that since the 70s. They will also want to, the elimination of tax inequities victimizing single persons and same-sex couples. So what they want to do is get rid of all of the incentives that government does to be able to promote the family, mm-hmm. and to be able to push us in the same, you know, bracket, mm-hmm. As the homosexual crowd.
Right.
The next one is the federal encouragement and support,
mm-hmm.
for sex education courses prepared and taught by gay women and men, presenting homosexuality as valid, healthy, and as a as a healthy preference and lifestyle, as a viable alternative to heterosexuality, and preferable to heterosexuality.
Great.
And that's what we see going on in California right now.
Yeah, it is. And parents are walking out. They had a huge walkout, a month ago? In May, where parents were walking out and so angry about what the kids are being taught now, and they can't opt out. So a lot of parents are starting to walk out, and they did a big protest. Wow. And you have a second clip, too. Do you want me to play that?
Real quick, just kind of bringing us to that point, is the raising of the gay flag. In Salt Lake City, the mayor, Jackie Buskipski, she lowered the city flag. So it's a political symbol. They lowered the city flag and replaced it with the gay flag, a political symbol. And then she gave the opening remarks to the Gay Pride Festival. And that's what this is.
This is the it's the politicization of this and of a sexual preference. We have to keep that in mind. That's exactly what this is. Here we go. Here's the mayor of Salt Lake City.
This is a fun weekend. But for me, when we raised the rainbow flag today with staff people who were setting up this event today and some of my own helpers in my office who work with me day in and day out to affect change, it was so different. And that flag went up and everybody was so excited to be a part of raising it. And that says something to me. That says, this is our city and this is our building and we are running this city.
Ooh. I didn't realize that Salt Lake City was only about the LGBT crowd. That's amazing.
It's their city. It's their building. And, you know, to the heck with all of us, because we're not a part of that little club.
Right.
And it's theirs now. And that's what we need to understand. Again, this is about supremacy, and this is about this is a political agenda. It is not an equal rights agenda. This is about their supremacy.
Right.
And it's really interesting is they always they're like, we're not the same as the pedophiles, but that's actually going away now. And in fact, one of the heroes of the homosexual supremacy movement is a man by the name of Harvey Milk.
Mm-hmm.
They even made a movie about the guy. Harvey Milk was the first openly gay politician. that he was the mayor of Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Of San Francisco.
San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but what people don't know about him is that he preferred to little boys, and he had regularly had 15, 14, 16-year-old boyfriends. So he was a statutory rapist, and that's the hero of the gay movement. And so in Salt Lake City, they've got Martin Luther King Boulevard, they've got Rosa Parks, they've got Cesar Chavez Boulevard. And so, of course, because it's their city, they want to have a street named after this pedophile, Harvey Milk. And so we talked about CPS in the last segment. At the city hearing to decide if they wanted to to vote on naming a street after Harvey Milk, you had Bryce Hurst, who is a DCFS worker. He's actually the one in charge. He'd be one of the people that would be in charge of taking your kids away from you. And he testified that, quote, Salt Lake City is one of the gayest cities in America, and that Harvey Milk was a personal hero of his.
Jeez.
And so they are pushing this, and it's not just about equal acceptance. You know, they are saying it's their city, mm-hmm. and you better go along with it. Like, we've got Eric Moutsos, who is a mm-hmm. police officer in Salt Lake, that said he was willing to serve at the parade, be able to help, protect people that were there. Mm-hmm. Just don't make me participate in the project. But no, that wasn't good enough. He had to participate. He had to endorse. He had to support mm-hmm. that program. And because he wouldn't, they fired him.
Right. Right. We had him on. He wrote a book. He's speaking tonight, Washington City Library, 7 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not about equality. This is about supremacy and about destroying the traditional family. Because as the founding fathers knew, that the greater, the more wicked and the more debauchery a society becomes, the easier it is to bring in tyranny. And so it is essential for them to break down the morals in a society for them to bring in their mm-hmm. their tyranny. And so that's why you've got the BYU Idaho and BYU Provo spontaneous protest trying to force them to accept homosexuality. You've got the BYU mm-hmm. what's his name, the speech there coming out as gay, valedictorian, mm-hmm. and then you've got now the Utah County Commissioner coming out as a being called a big hero,
right.
And so this is, we need to really understand that, you know, the sometimes we think of, oh, just live and let live. We need to understand what the real agenda behind this is, and so that we can stand for correct principles to make sure that this doesn't continue its washing over us.
Yeah, we're kind of bullied into silence in a way of, even, right now, us talking about this, a lot of there are people out there that would have an issue with that. Oh, gosh, don't do that. I mean, that's, if you say anything about it, then you might mm-hmm. be full of hatred, or you're right. mean, you're mean to the LGBT. And that isn't what this is about. It's about the politicization of it and recognizing it for what it is, because this is huge. It's become larger than life. And yeah. why? It's a sexual preference. So keep it to what it is. And so exactly. I think most Americans feel like that. Most Americans just don't care. Just keep it, whatever you want to do in your bedroom, go do it. Free agency, free choice, whatever. So when this is...
That's what it's sold as, yep.
Yeah, yeah. And so when this is put in our face like this, you've got all these things happening, like you just did that lineup of things. Things are changing rapidly, and we're now into a whole month of this kind of stuff. So I know you've got to go.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll cut Ben loose. DefendingUtah.org, DefendingUtah.org. Make sure you get over there. It's just awesome. And support them, subscribe, and get their newsletter. Get some front sight time. It really is a great gift, by the way, for the whole family, actually. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. Just something, I think one of the mistakes that we make on our side of the argument is that we don't catch the details. For instance, mm-hmm. Harvey Milk was not mayor of San Francisco. He was on the city council.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and do we know that Nathan Ivey did cheat on his wife with a man? Do we know that for sure? Has he said that? Because, again, that's one of those details that mm-hmm. will come back to bite us in the back end.
Yeah.
If we aren't very clear, the media will always hold us to a different standard.
Right.
And, they're in charge, and so we have to do it their way, and we just have to be 1,000% sure on our details.
Yeah, very for sure.
Like a never play gotcha.
Yeah, I'll go back. I'll look again because I thought he had outed himself on that, and then explained that that he had left for those reasons, but maybe not. So I will go back and look again. Yeah, great comment.
You know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for me because I feel like if I'm bringing it up a lot, because it does keep getting larger than life. That's the problem, is that why are we bringing it up so much? Because we keep seeing these things happen and wondering how it got to that point, like the valedictorian speech that was hijacked. It was hijacked, and I thought it was kind of rude to hijack a speech for your own coming out party. So there are things like that that keep going on. That's what keeps it in the news. That's why we keep talking about it. And again, I do think most people out there, their thoughts are that they do what you want to go do. But now it's infringing on everyone else. And the reason I say that with clarity is because, just like Ben McClintock said, when somebody can claim that they were terminated or didn't get an apartment or what have you because they were gay, because it's their sexual preference, then now the owner's rights, the business person's rights, have now been violated in favor of the person claiming that. And so we now have a situation where somebody has more rights than another. That's not equality. Equality is great, equality before the law, but that's not what's going on. And so that's why we have to keep calling it out, because we're seeing that it's done under the LGBT politicization arm of this. And because it's done that way, it makes everybody else kind of submit in silence, because then they can use the hatred, you know, motto against those that speak out about it. So it's us that you don't like. No, it's not you that I don't like. It is the politics of what you're doing that I don't like. That's really what this is about. And it's seeping in everywhere. If you have police officers in San Francisco wearing rainbow uniforms, it's rather shocking what it's become, larger than life. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back to The Kate Daly Show. Ah, so glad that you are with me. Are you with me? I welcome you back. You can go to katedalyradio.com. You can get katedalyradio.com podcasts, and you can listen to those. And I love that you are, and thank you for that. In the next hour, I'll be doing some news on bioterror, and then also right here in the United States, and not a terror attack from abroad. No, right here. And then Colonel Doug McGregor joins me. He's been on Tucker and Fox, and boy, they've interviewed him all over. He's been on just about every show, and he has a great outlook, and we'll talk to him and ask him a lot of questions. So it should be really fun. So I welcome you. You can, of course, call up 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. I'd love to take your phone call. It's also 435-673-1450 as well. I was reading earlier that St. George City wants to move to fund a $15.5 million expansion. Yeah, $15.5 million expansion. You know what's funny about this is, number one, we'll just point out the obvious. If you have too many employees, if you're busting at the seams, maybe we ought to be looking at the fact that you have too many employees. Maybe we ought to be looking at the fact of shutting down the over-encroached budget and the seemingly enlarged city government budget, and say, geez, we've been using a lot of money, and we have grown to the point where we've actually grown out of this large building of ours. I would take that as a sign that government's too big. Wouldn't you? But we're seeking to then expand government so that there's more hiring, so that there are more people involved, so that there are more costs. So that's what I find so ironic about this whole entire piece is that this is a great way to go, wow, we have just grown government power just way too big here. Here's another observation. City Hall is about oh so big, right? You know, it's a big building, lots of offices, okay? $15.5 million expansion. Think about that. Even if you were government, let's say you wanted to grow by 2 or 3%, okay? And let's even give them 10%. Let's say they obviously, can't stay within their means. They've got to keep hiring and keep adding all kinds of things to local government. So they need more building. $15.5 million. You know, when people bump up, because let's say you have a couple more kids, usually the bump doesn't include something so vast and so large. Usually it's, let's bump up to this particular building, we'll add a few offices, and gee, we're so sorry, we have to add a few more salaried employees at $100,000 a year. We're so sorry. Usually... I mean, I look around and I'm thinking $15.5 million for a little bit of a bigger building? I don't know about you, but my brain's going to explode. Not only are they already too big, they want to grow and they want to use an exorbitant amount of money. We're talking millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to grow a city government that overlooks, what, 80,000 people? What? I'm my head's reeling. I can't be the only one that feels like you've got to be kidding me. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, see, they've totally embraced the idea that debt is money, and, you know, that is how mm-hmm. you build yourself up, is to go farther and farther in debt.
Right, right. I'm in shock. I'm in shock. It's almost like I feel like I'm being punked, because every other day there is an article where they're calling for $500,000 here, $500,000 there, and of course we need $15.5 million. Do we realize that this in the St. George City is under 100,000 people?
It's amazing. But only for a while. I mean, look at what the hospital's done. Mm-hmm. Look at the number of schools going in. They've got it all planned out in a master plan that they are going to build it, and they will come.
Yeah, yep. And and the bigger they expand this, government, the city government, the more demanding it gets. And every a couple of years, we see the budgets expand to numbers that it's the largest leaps. That's why we did a show once on all the leaps the budget took, because no article would contain that. And I thought, this is kind of strange. So we went back a couple decades, and it was amazing in the last 10 years how much the budget's increased. Far and above and beyond, you know, anything that it needed to be.
Right. Well, I mean, the whole, I work out in the public quite a bit, and I go to people's homes, and you would be amazed at the number of people who have recently moved to St. George mm-hmm. from other parts of the country. They are not transplants from up north. Mm-hmm. They're here from not just California, but I'm talking New York, Ohio, Michigan. It doesn't matter. Everybody has got the idea to come here. The only problem is, what happens the day they can't leave where they're at, because everything locks up? The money train don't move no more.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happened last time. We all got reliant on all these people who were going to move here, and all of a sudden the whole housing industry crashes and nobody can move, and yet they've got all these, you know, I called them then tumbleweed farms, mm-hmm. all the developments that never built a house, yeah. but just grew tumbleweed.
Jeez. Oh, Ed Baca, Councilman Ed Baca. I wonder what happened to him. He used to be such a voice out there. But he said it's being paid by those that are moving into St. George. He's not saying government shouldn't grow. He's not saying anything except, don't worry, it's okay. It'll be paid by the tourists. It'll be paid by all the people that come here for races and things. That's not even the point, and I actually don't buy that. I actually don't buy that it's all paid by that. It's ridiculous. They say this a lot. When they're trying to describe spending or new budgets, it's always about, oh, well, it's those tourists. What do you think about that?
Well, sooner or later, we're going to get so metropolized. In other words, we're going to become so big that we're not the draw that we were when we were 100,000 people.
Yeah.
That people are going to say, oh, don't go there. It's a nightmare.
Right.
You know, remember what South Jordan was like. Remember what Draper was like. Remember what American Fork was like. And look at them now.
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed to. At one point in time, these were neat little bedroom communities that had all, and they still do somewhat, but they also still, they're starting to get crime, and they're starting to get more and more infrastructure problems with traffic and everything else, and we're going to be there, and then people are going to go, hey, why go there and have our event when we can go to some new town that's decided we're the next place to go?
Right, right. Well, yeah, it's this is so problematic. I can't even believe it. Thank you so much for calling in. I really do appreciate it.
Are you that much there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my big thing is not that I'm saying we shouldn't do it, but to spend money on the hope is causing debt that must be paid for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And what if it doesn't happen? And maybe some of us, you know, then we are stuck with the bill, those of us who are here.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason we don't want the pipeline. That's the whole reason we don't want this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather see it somehow put into a budget without all the future coming, mm-hmm. and say this is what works today, not what works 20 years from now, mm-hmm. on the idea of a maybe.
Well, when you go to the bank to get a mortgage, they don't tell you or they don't ask you what you're going to be making in 10 years based for your mortgage amount. They say, what are you making now? And this whole projection, like you said, into the future, for it seems as though I would say 80% of what they talk about is always about, well, in the future, we'll be able to pay in the future. And I can't imagine them not wanting to actually talk about what we're doing right now and stay within the present. So, you're right. You're right. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, appreciate the call. All right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm glad that somebody brought up Ed Baca.
Mm-hmm.
I used to admire that guy. I mean, mm-hmm. He was right on the spot in terms of, of trying to hold government accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's become kind of a victim of political amnesia. He used to be one of us, mm-hmm. and now he's one of them.
Right.
And it's so disgusting and so disappointing to see another good guy bite the dust. I don't know what they're paying him or what happened. I don't know what Kool-Aid he's been drinking, but boy, he's certainly disappointing today.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked to see a statement like that, because I think pre-councilman he would have said something to the effect of, there is no authority to do this, and we ought to be looking at how big we've already grown government.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, keep going after him.
Thanks.
Let's form a political party and let's start it here and let it cross the country.
There you go.
We need to stand for something or stand for nothing. And I think we need more William Wallace's, like Braveheart. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Freedom. Yes.
I
can appreciate that. Thank you. Really appreciate your call. 888-673-1450. What do you think? When you see stuff like this, you know, and then what does it do? It gets into a battle of the bucks, a battle of the money, rather than a battle for, is this the right thing to do on the premise of what they're doing it for? That's the problem I see, is that then it becomes, well, how are they spending the money, not how they're acquiring the money in the first place. This is exactly the paradigm, isn't it, between the right and the left. The right was always supposed to, always. I say that because it's so divided now into factions of constitutional versus neocon versus everything. But it used to say, well, you don't have the authority for that. You'll see the Libertarian Party say that a lot. You know, there's no authority for that. You'll see the leftists go, well, how are you going to spend it? That's what we're concerned about. Not how you acquired it. How are you going to spend it? This amount could have been $25 million today. Would anybody still be upset? What if it was $50 million for an expansion? Would people in the community actually think that it did cost $50 million for an expansion? Well, right now, if you want to go look at the buildings downtown and the cost of buildings and the cost of a few more offices, if you want to get on the left side of this and talk about how they're spending the money, $15.5 million, really? Have you taken a look at all the other offices that are a little bit bigger? I'm pretty sure that isn't even close to a ballpark cost. And so they all unanimously, all the councilmen, women, men, approved this. Why are they always working in tandem? I don't see any voices amongst this group of council people that will stand up and say no. And guess what? They all promised to when they got into office. When was the last time you saw a dissenting vote on anything they wanted to do? And that makes me incredibly sad to watch that transformation happen when I think people walk into that going, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to, trust me, I've been on the other side of the city and I've watched things that have happened and now I'm going to go in and make a difference. And what do? They might as well phone in their vote. Why even show up? If they're going to get full support on every single thing that that the city manager wants, every single thing that the mayor wants, every single thing, then why show up? Why even go? Just phone it in, text it in. I agree, no matter what you guys come up with, I totally agree. Because that's what I saw Ed Baca do in this article was, well, you know, the future of the, you know, people coming here will pay for it. Don't worry about it. No, he should have been asking and saying in the article, we don't have the authority to grow government like this. This isn't okay. Why isn't anyone calling this out? I'd love to see that. What happens when people get into office? Does it just become a chummy group? Are they just afraid to have a dissenting voice? You go back, as I have, look back at all the, throughout all the meetings, you'll find total unison. They all agreed. Go back, do a search. I promise you, you're going to find that they all agreed. Can anyone, you know, go into office and do the right thing? I've only seen a couple, maybe two people do that, where they've actually gone into office and did exactly what they said they were going to do. And it hasn't been on city councils. It hasn't been with mayors. So I'm just putting it out there that people should be questioning the fact that they have no authority to do this. Bursting at the seams should tell everybody that they're too big. And the city actually has to come together. The citizens have to come together to send that message loud and clear to these cities who say, oh, my gosh, we're growing and we don't know why. Gee, could it be the increase of our budgets over the years and all of our authority? And no, they shouldn't be bursting at the seams. Founding fathers be rolling in their graves. What do you mean bursting at the seams? So you want to spend more tax money? Ooh. All right. I'll be back with Bioterror. Interesting coming up. You'll want to listen to this. Very, very telling. And then Colonel Doug McGregor joins me in the last hour. Be right back.